Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and in today's episode, we're going to be discussing a special kind of music with a few guests that we've got in the studio who are decidedly experts. It's called electroacoustic music, and St. Cloud State University professor Scott Miller recently spent time in Estonia through a Fulbright scholarship where he lectured and taught at the Academy of Music and Theater in Estonia. And now that he's back home, and as part of St. Cloud State University's Creative Arts Series, he's brought some folk back from Estonia, where they're going to be performing on Tuesday, November 3rd at 8 p.m. in the Performing Arts Center. Like I said, I'm joined by Scott Miller and then Tarmo Johannes and Tavi Karikme of Ensemble Ooh. Gentlemen, welcome to KVSC Studio and welcome to the United States. How about we start off and you guys can just kind of introduce yourselves and, well, how you all met and what you do.
Well, I'm Scott Miller, and I'm here because I can't escape. I've been here since 1993 at St. Cloud State University.
Right on, in the music department. And you've brought some...
I've brought some friends, not back with me, but who I met a year ago, I was in Estonia on a Fulbright scholarship, teaching at the Estonian Academy of Music and Theater, and I was teaching electronic music composition. But while I was there, I was also trying to meet as many people in the music community that I could and that I could perform with and that I could get to know. And I was really especially interested not only in electronic music, but improvised music. And so I met Tarmo Johannes and Tavi Karikme over email before I left. I got a hold of their email addresses, and they responded to my email, and they met me when my first week there. Tarmo and his wife Tatiana met me like my first day. Took me out to the gourmet coffee. Yeah. My first dinner with other human beings when I was in Estonia, which was really nice. And then Tavi took me to Ravala like the next day. I was getting the whole cafe scene in Tallinn in my first week. And then my first week, I ended up going to the Pasta Modular. Pasta Modular, references to pasta and modular synthesis, a modular synthesis meetup of all the Baltic nations, but with a heavy showing from Estonia being in Tallinn, as it was, at a place called Ptarmigan. It was the last month that this place was open, and Tavi was there with his Serge modular synthesizer, and some other people, other colleagues at the academy showed up. Hans Gunther showed up with this giant Dupfer modular synthesis rack, and Phil McPhail, a British guy, lives in Estonia, makes modular synthesizers, Leva Terrace modules. He was there. He turned out to be my next door neighbor. He lived around the corner from me. So that's all a rather long way of saying I was there for maybe 10 minutes and I started making friends who had the same interests that I did. And, I'm really, really, really happy that we're able to bring, Ensemble Ooh, and, which includes Tarmo and Tavi, here as part of the Creative Arts Series in the School of the Arts. And, they arrived last night.
Hi, my name is Tarmo. I'm a flutist in the Ensemble Ooh, and it consists of six players: flute, clarinet, violin, cello, piano, and percussion. And we're specialized on contemporary music and do just all kinds of contemporary music performances.
Hello, my name is Tavi, and as you heard, I'm also a member of this Ooh Ensemble. But besides playing in that group, I teach in Estonian Music Academy as well. I teach improvisation and contemporary music, experimental music, these kind of things. And I play quite often myself, playing electronic music, electroacoustic music, these kind of things. And music is my life. Playing sometimes in rock groups, I have to admit, also played in pop groups to earn my living while I was a student. But I am not ashamed of it. I'm against all kind of musical racism, as my one of my friend from France used to call it. So
all the different genres, yeah, and it's everything's got its qualities here and there. Everything's got its
sure.
It's thing.
It's about people, I guess, more than sounds. Very often, it's about meeting those people and talking to them, playing with them.
Yeah, that's kind of usually one of those questions I throw out there at some point is, and you kind of answered it without me even asking, is why is music important? And that's, I think, kind of a big part of it is meeting people. And there's a communication as well that, you know, I speak a different language, like, you know, just language, but then there's music, and that is outside of language, even though it's the language itself.
Yes, I agree, and I disagree at the same time, because I think that, well, at least it seems to me that music as such is such a way, such a large subject in itself. It's sometimes difficult to believe that all those different things that we consider music, we call it with the same name, and it has very different functions in the different situations and different discourse. I believe it's the word. It's sometimes really, it's more about social behavior. Sometimes it's more about some existential philosophical ideas. Sometimes it's about protesting and so on and so on. So I sometimes feel like we should invent more words to describe it better, what is going on. Music is too large to describe all those very different aspects and very important aspects what it covers.
Or you can go further and, of course, make philosophy over that. But for us, with Ensemble Lou, I think sound is the very essential term that we work with, and that is very central in most of the pieces written for us.
Well, why don't you describe what you guys do, if you can?
There are three main paths or main things that we work with. One is new pieces written for us, both from Estonian composers and composers from abroad. Then we play quite much so-called classical contemporary composers, like we'll have next week or after that a program by Pierre Boulez coming up. And then we are also very interested in experimental music and examining different ways of delivering music, graphical scores and all other kinds of open music. And so it's also connected with improvisation and also a lot about thinking over music. So these are the three main branches of our...
In this journey. Experimental side, I think Tarmo is too humble. He has programmed different environments that we have experimented with the audience, for example. I think it's one of important things that we have been working with is how to broaden the sense of the concert situation. How can you interact more intensively with the audience? Because this is, I think, one of the big issues of this so-called contemporary music or contemporary classical music is that it becomes, many people feel it's a kind of like elitist way of making music. It's too contemporary, too kind of edgy, maybe dissonant. It's not something that normal people would want to hear or something. I think it's the common kind of like attitude towards it. But we have tried to work with this problem, try to bring the audience closer to that music that we love and we believe it's important, because it is created nowadays. If we think of music history, if we think back like 200 years or so, it was only about contemporary music. during Bach time, they were playing contemporary music daily basis. And they didn't play like music what was written 200 or 300 years ago. They played the music what was written on that day. You know, if you take Beethoven, I don't know, Mozart, all those guys. That time it was about the contemporary music, and nowadays if you compare. If you take concert programs, most of the music played in the classical scene is old music. Music that comes from, I don't know, 200 years ago. So I think, I don't want to say it's wrong or it's bad, because I love Mozart, I love Debussy, I love all those great composers. But still, I think we have to absolutely notice and pay attention to these guys who are working nowadays, now with us, live around us, because I think it's also with literature, or if we look at the cinema, for example. If you look at the movies that were made like 70, 80 years ago, it doesn't feel very... You don't feel very close to those movies right away, because they have very particular way of expressing themselves, also how they act, or how it seems like overdone, they are like overdoing it somehow. But that was the style that time. But it's only 80 years ago. But if we think of music, it's actually very similar. It's, you know, all these expressions, all these harmonies, they were, I think, very much about this environment we were written in. And I don't want to say that music shouldn't be played nowadays. It's just that the balance between the earlier music and nowadays music, I think, should be in favor of the nowadays music. This is what I think. Of course, then you could argue that, yes, but there is a lot of pop music, jazz music, folk music around us, and this is nowadays music, absolutely. But if we just take the classical music scene, then this is a problem.
Well, yeah, I think that's a really good analogy between, you know, music and movies. Because, it was a different world when some of these movies are being produced. But on one hand, you've got some very classic human things that are happening. I think back to, some of like the really old, the movie The Hustler is very slow. It moves at a certain pace. But that's how that was. That's the style. And then you look at kind of part two of The Hustler, The Color of Money, and that's at a different pace. But yet, it keeps like this progression keeps happening and it changes. Sometimes it is nice to go back and, watch an old movie and have that feel very much like, say, listening to some Beethoven or some Mozart. It's a very old thing. But then, what else is being created? There's that. There are new movies to watch, if you will. Or even, and this is going to get kind of weird, I think, but like a reboot of some of these, how many movies are out there that, somebody has just done the same movie again? There's definitely a place for that. I'm thinking, on one hand, it makes it a little bit more accessible, but then it also reminds people that it exists, like Bill Murray's Razor's Edge. For example, that is, it's not a comedy, but that's a remake of something that was done much earlier. And it's, he wanted to do this to keep it out there, because otherwise I would have never seen that movie. Yeah. So then there's like that putting your own take on something classic. And or I think that word classic is what maybe people get hung up with.
Yes, but then we should absolutely be aware that these people, that time when those pieces were created, be it movie or music or literature, for example, they perceived those things completely differently. And for example, there are writings about Mozart music from the people who lived that time. That it is too intense. It's impossible to listen to it. It's too intense. It's too expressive, And nowadays, if you would think of Mozart music, the first thing what would come to our minds would maybe be that it's a nice background music that it, we could have a glass of wine, you know, and chat, and you know, and it's
but it's background.
Yeah, it's very intelligent background music
that calms you down.
Yeah,
calms
you down. You can enjoy it. But there are some things happening in this harmony, for example, which were absolutely shocking to those people the times it was written. So it also Beethoven, the same thing. People were so much involved with this kind of music that then he broke the rules in some places. It was absolute shock for those people listening to it. Nowadays we wouldn't even notice it because we are not into in this harmonic system strongly anymore. So we don't even notice those dissonances or those provocations what these great martyrs actually did with the form. And that's why I'm saying that listening to older music, we actually need to know all those rules, learn again those rules, learn what they meant, what those gestures actually meant. And that's why I believe that I've seen it that for nowadays children, for example, it's much easier to understand nowadays music, even if it's so-called hardcore contemporary music. They even sometimes prefer it because it is... somehow corresponds better to their...
It's just closer.
Yeah, it's closer somehow to their...
And it's not only children. I think it's for everybody. If it's a good piece, and then very many composers really think about the perception of music and how nowadays people live and in this world and then what touches them, it's actually it's easy to understand. In a way, it's easier... And it can touch you stronger than a sonata by Brahms.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. Today we're talking with SCSU professor and Fulbright scholar Scott Miller and a couple members of Ensemble U, Tarmo Johannes and Tavi Karikme, as Ensemble U is in town for the SCSU Creative Arts Series. And as we get back into it, we're going to talk with them about what they're doing for their performance, which is going to be at 8 p.m. on Tuesday the 3rd in the Performing Arts Center at St. Cloud State University.
It's actually a very nice project. It's we're playing a program of new electroacoustic pieces, and it's bringing together American composers and Estonian musicians, and also we play some Estonian music. So it's music written for instruments and electronic sounds. So it's, again, very much about sound, the perception, and different relations between the players, the soundtracks, the listeners in the hall. So we are going to have really four premieres coming up here in NZ Clowns, plus some more pieces in the program.
Back when we did an interview years ago, you know, the different kinds of music that's an experience of music that's outside of a regular experience of music, I guess, is one way of looking at it, because it's something different. And I'm a very big proponent of different is good. And what is that? Sometimes it's hard to do something different because of so much that has gone on before that is all the same, if that makes sense.
Well, here's the good news. We're making it easy, not hard, for you to experience something you've never experienced on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock in the recital hall. How's that for a plug?
There you go. There you go.
Free and open to the public.
Yep, as part of the Creative Arts series. Right? Yep, 8 o'clock in the recital hall at Performing Arts Center, St. Cloud State University campus.
And we are very happy to premiere one of Scott's pieces, actually, what he wrote for us. This is a great privilege for us to work with living composers in flesh and bones, you know. The composers are real. I remember from my childhood when I was studying music, you know, in the children music schools you have all these photos, or not photos, but some paintings of these great composers, and they almost feel you almost feel they are I don't know, timeless figures, some statues. They were not human, but so for me it was very interesting discovery. I think I was I saw a living composer when I was 10 years old or something playing his own music, and for me it was very surprising to see really a composer.
It's like flesh and blood. These guys are real.
Yeah, these guys are real. And I think for us it's a very normal thing to play something that we have never played. And I think actually I think if I would generalize, I don't see why in art in general somebody should do something that is already done, or why should anybody repeat something that is already there, you know? Why to pollute already an existing acoustic space with something that what has already been done, I mean, and probably better. So that's why I think that we have to, even being musicians, to support the composers and their creation. So the piece by Scott, it is a complex piece to play, a lot of layers, a lot of colors, textures, and I think it has also something to do with Estonia, where you spent some time, does it?
So what drew you to Estonia? Kind of go back to that and how you guys, you know, met and all this. You chatted a little bit about that, but what drew you to going over there?
I was really interested in looking at just the northern part of Europe generally as a place to go and have some experience musically, because it resonates with me. And when you look at Fulbright's to look for places that are matched with what you do and what you're interested in doing, each country, it's kind of like a little lookbook for each country, and it lists the different disciplines that they are interested in. And so I was already sort of narrowed down to sort of following the North Sea into the Baltic and around, and thinking that might be a really interesting area to look in. And one of the other things about this lookbook, though, is that most countries, I noticed, were asking for somebody in music, but they didn't describe what they really necessarily wanted them to do. It was rather open, and no, that was fine. But then Estonia was very specific that they were looking for someone to teach electronic music composition, which is, curiously enough, exactly what I do. And so there was just this perfect fit in that regard. And I contacted the academy and sent them my materials, and they invited me over. And then, you know, the process takes a little over a year, actually, and it unfolded as it did. And I received the Fulbright, and I was able to go. And then, you know, so there was that. Plus, I have, you know, a lot of experience with the Czech Republic. There's just something about these different cultures that are either refinding or sort of tapping out, I guess, sort of like their identities now that the Soviet Union is gone, that obviously played a huge role in questions of national identity for 70 years. And so there was that connection there, too, because I find that really interesting. And Estonia is a great example of a place where everyone's just so engaged in the culture today and not devoted to trying to preserve an idea of something from 200, 300, 400, 500 years ago, but instead really just devoted to the idea of doing really interesting things right now.
It's like creativity. Let's make something.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. There's a lot of creativity happening there in everything that I encountered. It's very exciting. It's exhausting, actually, in a way. I came back really tired.
Nice. That's how you know that you did the right thing, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I have no regrets.
Yeah.
Well, Tavi was setting me up to sort of describe this connection in my piece, which is called Accretion, that I wrote for Ensemble Lou, and its connection to Estonia, but also its connection to Minnesota, because I wanted to do something that had some meaningful connection for the ensemble and my own experience there, but also to my experience here in Minnesota, because there are a lot of parallels between Minnesota and Estonia. It's the two are very similar in many ways. I was very comfortable that way. So I asked Avia, I said, so what kind of sounds, because I was going to work with recorded sound, what kind of sounds would resonate, would be, meaningful? And he said, well, ice, snow, perhaps, and silence. He can tell you, that he has this great story about the BBC and Estonian silence, but... the idea of ice in particular and water, because I was in Tallinn, which is right on the Bay of Finland and the Baltic Sea, and it's there's just this real strong connection there. My wife and I, shortly after that, we went up in March to Grand Marais, and we went snowshoeing on the Grand Portage Trail, and I brought my recorder and a nice microphone. And we snowshoed up to the High Falls and Grand Portage Trail, and I made recordings of these frozen falls, but the water is still moving underneath the ice on the outside of the falls. And then the bay, it was getting warmer, so it wasn't solid ice anymore. There were just these massive chunks of ice and lots of little pieces of ice, and I made recordings of that. It's quite beautiful. And then I took these recordings, and I analyzed them. I did a spectral analysis of them, and I resynthesized them, and I converted the information of that analysis, actually produced the rhythm and pitch information that the piece is drawn from. And so really, in a sense, the motivic ideas and the kind of harmonies that are in this piece are literally drawn from the ice on Lake Superior, or from the river on the Grand Portage Trail. And that's the connection that I found that way.
Nice.
Not, I should say, you won't hear piano, violin, and flute playing and think, oh, gee, that sounds exactly like ice, because it won't. But that's the source material.
Well, nature provides definitely strange noises if you look for it. When the river out here, I did this once. This was I was working, and it was during the day. The river's twanging is what I like to call it. It's like the ice does this thing, and it's like a big drum, is essentially. So I made a comment on Facebook about it. It's like, well, the river's really twanging today. Yeah, not 5 minutes later, Christian saw that, and he comes running down here with a microphone. I gotta get this noise.
And I'm just on SoundCloud.
Yeah,
it's a fabulous sound because he played guess this sound with me, and I had no idea.
Oh yeah, there are times you never know when it's going to happen, but it happens, and then all of a sudden, and sometimes it can really get active, and it is the craziest sound, and it ripples up and down the river, or it just does it once, or it makes all sorts of different noises. It's really fun.
I confess, I knew this before going up to Grand Marais. I was kind of hoping for something along those lines. I wasn't really sure what I was going to get. I didn't get anything like that.
You never know.
But yeah. I'm happy with what I got, with what I wrote today. I heard it for the first time in rehearsal with Ensemble, and they're doing great. Apparently, it's a very active piece, which is not the kind of music I've been writing the past few years. And let's just say there's a lot of activity in ice, and they're doing it real justice.
So if somebody wanted more information on your group and how to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
Yes, it's very simple. In Estonia, it's all about internet and all about it's a digital age in Estonia at the moment. All these fancy digital ID cards, parking with your phone, or all those things. You can vote with your ID card and all those things. So it's easy to find us in the internet. Just go to Facebook or to our website uuu.ee, what is for Estonia. Or, in case you are interested in Music Academy, where Scott spent some time, it's very easy, find us in the internet. There are also some international programs. Some students from states have taken part of.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah, we'll definitely link to it off of our website, off of the podcast for this as well. So,
and we are very grateful for this invitation to Scott and to the university. So welcome to the concert.
Yeah. Nice, nice, nice. Well, thank you guys all for stopping in here today.
Thank you very much.
And once again, we've been speaking with SDSU professor and a Fulbright scholar, Scott Miller, and two members from Ensemble U, Tarmo Johannes and Tavi Karikme, about electroacoustic music and their upcoming performance at St. Cloud State University's Creative Arts Series this Tuesday, November 3rd, in the Performing Arts Center's Recital Hall. The event is free and open to the public, and for more information, you can find links on our website at kvsc.org under the Area Events tab. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of AMPERS, Diverse Radio for Minnesota's communities.